Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another edition of the Rebel Room. I'm Ryan Green from the Las Vegas Sun, and joined today by Jason Franchuk from the Provo Daily Herald. We are going to be previewing Saturday's UNLV-BYU clash at the Thomas and Mack Center, 1 p.m. can be seen on Versus. The two teams playing for essentially a spot atop the Mountain West standings, BYU hoping to stay there by themselves, UNLV hoping to push it to a tie. Coming off of a 28-point victory at Wyoming on Wednesday night. Jason, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure, man. Can't wait to get down there. It should be a good atmosphere here. It's going to be another sellout, it looks like. So
yeah, it's fewer than 1,200 tickets left today.
Very good. Yeah, BYU's already sold out San Diego State game and New Mexico game, so they're definitely getting used to the rowdy atmospheres here.
Yeah, I guess we should just jump right into it. You know, this is a game that all of Las Vegas is getting excited for. You know, the team is very excited. The fan base clearly is excited. UNLV in these big home games has a history of just showing an incredible amount of hunger, and they typically come in. You know, they struggle to start games hot at home, but against big time opponents, they usually find a way to do it. Is it the same on the other side? Is BYU, you think, as fired up for this rematch? Obviously, beat them by 4 in Provo to open Mountain West play, but you know, are they really cranking up to face UNLV again? Does this game, you think, mean as much to them?
Oh, Ryan, I think definitely. I mean, when you talk about Dave Rose's 0-6 against UNLV at Thomas and Mack, and you factor in 4 regular season games and then 2 really hard-fought tournament games there in the finals, so this is a group that I think, if nothing else, I mean, it's almost, people always say, well, is the season a success if you beat Utah, you know, around here and everything like that? But I think the big deal right now for this group is winning at UNLV, and that goes everything from Dave Rose to, obviously, Jonathan Tavernari considers Las Vegas home. He says that's where he wants to live one day. He'll have friends at the game, and he wants to win there. Michael Lloyd Jr. is a backup guard. He's from Vegas, and a few guys from Southern California and things like that that'll have family. And, you know, they want to go in there and win this game, not just for tournament seeding and things like that, but this team felt like it was really, really close against New Mexico. And BYU, there were a few times it was down 5 points, 7 points, the lead only got as high as 9, but BYU ended up leading with 3 minutes left. Fredette hit one of those NBA range three-pointers, Jumer Fredette, and that's what he's kind of come to be known as right now, is just a very quality long-range shooter. And BYU was really disappointed that they hit that three, had a two-point lead. New Mexico came back on a three-point play right out of that, and a real nice bucket by Phillip McDonald, and BYU could never get over the hump. They really wasted their next two possessions. But back to your point, long-winded here, yeah, they really want this game right now.
Now, talking about that New Mexico game, of course, BYU suffered its first conference loss in Albuquerque last week. You know, one thing I noticed watching that game was that BYU kind of, you know, whereas when they first played UNLV, they were really getting a lot of second chance points, keeping possessions alive with offensive rebounds. It kind of came back to bite them a little bit because it seemed like New Mexico was doing a lot of the same. How have the Cougars looked in kind of trying to correct that since the New Mexico game? Because obviously, that's going to be a big point of emphasis for both teams.
You know, it's going to be real interesting. I think they learned a few things. Like you say, just getting second chances is big for both teams in these type of games. BYU's got to have that hunger. And, you know, I do wonder, they won such a big game there at San Diego State, and then a few days later they go to New Mexico, and I kind of wondered, just mentally, I wonder if they were ready to go for that sweep, or if you're kind of satisfied, even though they won't say it, I kind of wonder if they were satisfied just to kind of go 1-1 on that big road trip. So this, I think they're just prepared to really go down. They know UNLV is going to pressure a lot. They know it's going to be a real hostile crowd. But BYU, really, at this point, ever since that Utah State game December 2nd, which was their first loss, BYU started 5-0, lost that game at Utah State, they led at half and then really just faded the final 20 minutes. But then they've gone to San Diego State, gone to New Mexico, played at UTEP, which was a pretty tough atmosphere, and UTEP's turned out to be pretty good. They've gone to Arizona, and I just think this, more than any other that I've seen, I've covered the team 7 years now. Rose has won 4 years of 20 wins there, and this is the team that's most just mentally tough. I think they've got the right guys in the right places, and I think they'll have a good game plan together. I think the big question when you talk about rebounding is BYU won't have Brandon Davies, the backup center. He's played pretty well as a freshman, but he had an emergency appendectomy on Wednesday there.
Yeah.
So they're going to be short-staffed there, but I think they'll be ready to go.
Now, you talked about Davies being out. That was what we're going to get to next was the injury front. Update us on Tyler Hawes and what's going on there.
Yeah, Hawes played Tuesday about 11 minutes, actually got whacked in the head once, and he was already nursing a sore forearm for Monday at practice. So Tuesday he gets hurt. He tried to go in and took another shot. That was a clean shot. It was just a hard, aggressive play. Tyler's going for rebounds a lot, and he got clocked again. And the trainer had asked Coach Rose, well, if you don't need him, let's take the safe route on this right now. And BYU was playing TCU, which just really put up very little fight in that game. They put the first 10 points, and BYU was never threatened. It was almost like a 2-0 lead in soccer. You know it was going to be insurmountable. But Hawes will play. He looked good at practice. I think what's going to be really interesting, and I've asked coaches about this, is what a lot of people might forget at this point, considering the way Fredette's played, is he was actually quite sick the first meeting with UNLV, and he didn't even play the last 4 minutes of that game. So I've asked coaches, well, now that you can plan around having this kid, will it be different? And they don't seem to think so. They're going to try and do the same things. But I think it's a big deal that Jimmer will be available for 40 minutes, and he's played about 30 to 35 the last four games and averaged over 30 points. So to have him full-time, I don't know if you'll see the bench production like BYU had the first meeting against the Rebels, where they seem kind of surprised that guys like Michael Lloyd were coming through and big games down the stretch. So I think you'll see kind of Jimmer running the show as much as he can there.
Yeah, you mentioned the bench reduction in the first game. Michael Lloyd was huge for him, but you know, and Jimmer being back at full strength, what is it against UNLV for Jimmer Fredette? Now, last game, you know, 2 of 10 from the floor, 7 points, you know, 1 rebound, 1 assist. You know, he was sick, and everybody knew that, and you know, he gave it the best he could. But you know, the last couple of years, he has not had his best performances against UNLV. What is it that you think they do so well that just really gets in his kitchen?
You know, I've wondered in past meetings if Jimmer doesn't trust people sometimes as much as he should. And, you know, talking to other coaches in the league, I think one thing they're really impressed with is Jimmer making the right plays at the right times and knowing when to attack and when to dish off. And I think this year especially, he didn't get to show it that first time with UNLV like we've talked about with the illness, but I think he's been really good at understanding how teams are going to attack him, what ways, and what he can kind of do to counteract that. And he's got Jackson Emery kind of came out of a slump on the wing. Tyler Hawes has been playing real well. Hawes has just been so impressive for a freshman. Real good group, as you know, of freshman guys in the Mountain West. But Hawes has just been in the perfect position. He's got the perfect attitude considering how highly recruited he was, that he just blends right in with this group extremely well. And Jimmer has also been just getting his assists like he needs to. So I think they'll rely on him so much to just make the right plays. And I think the big deal might be, can he stay out of foul trouble early? I anticipate UNLV trying to attack him. And I look at that New Mexico game. They forced a foul in the first game on Jimmer. And I believe the rest of that first half, he was never really the same. He never attacked the same defensively. They were real cautious with him because they didn't want to get him that second and put him on the bench. And so it kind of changed the dynamic for 15 or 18 minutes. And if you can change Jimmer's dynamic and BYU's offense's dynamic for that long, you put yourself in pretty good shape. So I'm real curious to see how the Rebel guards attack him tomorrow.
Now, obviously everybody knows about Jimmer, and UNLV fans certainly remember Tavernari and Hawes from that first meeting. Who do you, you know, in the first meeting, Michael Lloyd, you know, given the situation, wound up being the X factor. Who do you see being the X factor for BYU in this one?
Well, you know, I'm going to say Chris Miles, the center, and I don't think they necessarily need a big game. I don't see them needing a double-double by any means, but BYU's offense, you watch it enough, and it's a real inside-outside offense. And if Miles can get position, down low to be a scoring threat. And he's actually done pretty good this year, not only at the free throw line, but kind of being a scoring option where he can hit that little turnaround jumper. No team wants to double team Miles at this point. You're not seeing that a lot because of BYU's perimeter play. But if Miles can get the ball successfully down low and make proper decisions and dish it back out and give the guards a little bit of room to make some plays, I think that's where BYU is really at its best. That's where they really struggled against New Mexico. And not having Brandon Davies makes it a bigger deal, obviously, because they have less options in there. I don't think you're going to see maybe James Anderson come off the bench and do anything spectacular because he just doesn't have the body to really bruise down low and force that blocked position. But I'm going to say Miles. I don't know, like we've talked about, if the bench play, if you see a Lamont Morgan, Mike Lloyd, I think they'll be critical in little 5 to 8 minute stages, possibly, maybe make a bucket, hold the leads, don't let the game get out of hand. But, you know, obviously, besides from a guy like Jimmer, who's really so key with this team every game, I'd say Miles and just the inside play. And maybe Jonathan Tavernari, this is his last shot in the regular season at Vegas. He wants this one real, real bad. You can just tell by looking into his eyes when you talk to him and everything that this is a game that he wants to not only impress people on an individual level, but these guys see what is possible for them for an NCAA tournament seed more than any other group, and a win like this would be dynamic for them.
Yeah, Tavernari and Miles both had some big games for BYU. The first time around, Tavernari had 17 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, and Chris Miles had 3 of those killer 16 offensive rebounds for the Cougars. Before we get out of here, I'm going to give you an option. I don't want to put you on the spot and have you make a prediction if you don't want to. So you have you have your choice, Jason, of predicting the outcome of the BYU-UNLV game or predicting the outcome of the Super Bowl. Your pick.
Can I do them both, or are you going to limit me?
No, you can do both if you want. I like ambition.
Double dip, man. I got nothing to hide here. You know, I thought about it back and forth, and I'm actually writing a story, if I can hype my publication.
Absolutely.
Here real quick. HaroldExtra.com, CougarBlue.com, if anybody wants the BYU perspective. I'm writing a story mostly on Dave Rose going back to Vegas. I'm sure most of your readership and blog fans here and interview fans are aware of what Dave Rose went through over the summer. And a lot of that started in Vegas. That's where he had his surgery to remove a pancreatic tumor that he had. So it's almost like this game is kind of drawn up for him to win somehow. And I just think with Jimmer's health and the way the other guys are playing, I know UNLV's got a lot at stake with this. Could be a real big win, as you know, for their NCAA tournament hope. The bids are out there, but I think BYU wins, and I think they win maybe just by 2 or 3. I'm going to say it's going to be a high-scoring game, 78-74.
I like that BYU score. I like that score prediction. I like it.
It's just one of those games. And as for the Super Bowl, I was down. BYU football played at Tulane in September. It was opening NFL weekend, actually. So I didn't get a chance to go to the game. I ended up having food poisoning and was violently ill. But on the way back to the airport, my wife had gone down with me, and we had a cabbie who took us. I hope I'm not boring your listeners too much, but we had a cabbie who took us back, and he ended up taking us by the Superdome. And just to see the passion of that town and the way they want these Saints to win, I've never really seen that community involvement from a pro team. You know, you see that a lot from college teams. We both went to Kansas. You know what that's like. But from a professional team, and so I've been a New Orleans fan here since early September, and I'm really rooting for them. So I'm going to say they win by a touchdown. I think they force a turnover on Manning late, and Manning can't score, and maybe force an overtime. So I'm expecting a play there. So those are my two predictions for you.
I can't argue with either of them. You know, I've been trying to figure out this UNLV-BYU game, honestly. Could see it going either way. I don't feel strongly either way. So I like the prediction. I like your reasoning behind it. Any final comments you want to throw in there before we get out of here?
You know, I'm real excited, Brian, about this league right now. I've covered it long enough that I don't think any of us expected it to be a good year, you know. And, I mean, you see the Pac-10 is down and North Carolina is real bad, and you see some teams like that. And I think this is a real year when Mountain West can really make a move. I'm really hoping they get 3 teams in because, I mean, I've seen plenty of Big 12 ball just like you have, but I think there's 3 real good teams here. I was real disappointed to see Jasper go down for UNLV because tough when you see an injury. But hopefully a real good game like you talked about. I could see UNLV shoot. I know how they play at home, especially in such a setting like this. So should be a real good crowd. Hopefully the fans behave, cheer for their team, and hopefully it's the start of a few really good final weeks to come here in the league.
Yeah, not only three teams that very well could be in the tournament, but three teams very capable of making some noise there.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to be it for this pregame edition of the Rebel Room podcast. Log on to LasVegasSun.com/Rebels for all of your UNLV coverage. UNLV BYU this weekend. Want to thank Jason Franchuk from the Provo Daily Herald. Jason, thanks for joining us.
Pleasure, man. Anytime.
All right. We will look forward to seeing you, and we will talk to you after the game Saturday here at LasVegasSun.com/Rebels. Thanks, and have a good weekend.